It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the CLNS Host Game Show. I am your host, Sam Sheehan. We're going to be joined a little bit later on by Matt Chin. But first, folks, what I'm going to bring to you tonight, we're coming off a fun game. Out in Utah, where the Boston Celtics, the wounded, the bedraggled, the, I don't even know what to call them, just the hampered by injury Boston Celtics went in against one of the hottest teams in the NBA, and they snuck away with the three-point victory, winning 97-94. Folks, tonight, this episode, it's brought to you by Hims. A lot of times we're talking about, how to look good. You know, that's kind of the brand of this show, what we talk about a lot. Well, looking bald, some guys can pull it off. It's not for everybody. But it's not something a lot of guys have choice in. 66% of their men, they're losing their hair by the age of 35. Okay. But, thanks to science these days, baldness can be optional. And that's where Hims comes in. Okay. What they can do is there's no waiting room. There's no awkward doctor's visits. You just go to 4hims.com, and they're kind of like a one-stop shop. Your hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, all that stuff right there at Hims. So, folks, I know what you're thinking. You got a deal for us? And you know what we do. We take care of you here at CLNS Media. So to order now, you're going to get a trial month of Hims for $5 today while supplies last. You're just going to go to hims.com/report. That's FORHIMS.com/report, forhims.com/report. Okay. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to talk about the Utah Jazz. We're going to talk about the Boston Celtics. But first, I want to bring in my co-host, Matt Chin, who's with us tonight. Matt, what did you think of that game we just watched?
Sam, great to be with you. Well, I thought that the Portland one was actually the best win of the season, but this one might be testing, that assertion that I made a couple of days ago, just because given where the Celtics are, how hot Utah is right now, how important that Western Conference race is from 3 through 10, just to pull out this win on the road against one of the hottest teams in the NBA. They've had as good of a record as anyone over the last 2 months. And with the Jazz at full strength on a night where you're missing Marcus Morris, who's been your go-to scorer the last couple games, and when Shane Larkin's leading you in minutes, and he's plus 25 tonight, which is just incredible. Just another gritty, tough win that I think the Celtics team can build their character upon.
Yeah, I was kind of I wanted to save it just because when it came across the screen, it kind of took my breath away. The injury report for this game. I mean, Gordon Hayward has been a staple there all year, but to see Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Marcus Smart, Marcus Morris, Daniel Tice. I mean, that's about half the roster. What's more, the Celtics only had about $28 million on a $99 million cap healthy tonight as far as salary. So that's like they were basically going out there with, about $5 million more than J.J. Redick makes in a year. And they still, go into Utah. I mean, this is one of the hottest teams in the NBA. I mean, this is a team that was without Rudy Gobert and really had to scrap, really had to work, really had to just dig in to find a way to, sneak their way back into what's turned into an absolutely brutal playoff race out west. So this is, this is a national TV game and, a game that is just, I don't want to undersell, I guess, is my point here. That this is not a bad team. This is a Jazz squad that, when it's all said and done, might be like the third or fourth actual best team in the Western Conference once they all got healthy. I don't know. Am I off base? Is that like a little bit of an overstatement? What's your take on the Jazz?
Absolutely not. I mean, really, 3 through 10 can be anything in the next couple of weeks. It's really anyone's guess, and it's been fluctuating up and down. Just a few weeks ago, you had Minnesota much higher up, and when they get Jimmy Butler back, and Utah's a team that I would not want to play if I'm at the top of the Western Conference, just because of how they can buckle down on defense, and they have so many different playmakers. I was really impressed with the way Joe Ingles moved the ball tonight as well. Like, they have three guys that can take you off the dribble and really distribute, and Gobert is just such a difference maker for them. I thought early on the Celtics really had some questionable shot selection trying to challenge Gobert at the rim. They didn't have a ton of ball movement, and he just changes everything that's like within 5 feet of the basket. And even if he's not blocking shots, he's altering them. He's making guys, you know, think about different angles, and he's such a force defensively. And I thought the Celtics did a nice job of adjusting to him. You know, typically in the past, they've used guys like Al Horford to bring shot blockers like Gobert and DeAndre Jordan away from the basket. And they didn't really have that as much tonight. Even Greg Monroe really struggled from the field until the end, toward the end of the game. I mean, 2 for 10 on the, and he's really your only semblance of bringing Gobert away from the basket. So I was just really impressed with the way the Celtics found secondary and tertiary scoring on a night when Monroe and Rozier really didn't have it going until the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You know, we saw guys step up. We had Semi Ojeley, after he got like a little and one there, like in the third quarter, he just started like, I don't know, coming off pin downs and just throwing them up there. It was good to see Semi showing like a little bit of confidence out there. But that's kind of the type of night it was, you know, as you say, you know, that this was the Gobert, the Stifle Tower was out there stifling today. And, you know, it was tough sledding for Greg Monroe, which is why we saw, you know, Stevens try and work a little bit more facilitation at the elbows just to see what could happen as far as, you know, guys shooting. I mean, this was a matchup of two of the top defensive teams in the NBA. And, you know, it was pretty much that's how it held true. Neither team shooting particularly well. One thing that does jump out at me, though, the Celtics did get a lot of threes, shot the three ball really well tonight, 12 for 21 compared to the Jazz's 9 for 33. So that, you know, almost certainly the difference maker in the game. Matt, if I had to ask you, how many rebounds would you say that Shane Larkin got in the game tonight?
I've, now that I look at the box score, I would not have guessed 9. Absolutely incredible. And like, I don't know if some of them were like design tips, because I know there were a couple ones where he just batted the ball out, but like, you know, those are the little areas where you can win. And when you have Larkin crashing the glass at that smallest guy on the floor, I mean, mm-hmm. up in the trees with Rudy Gobert, I mean, that's really impressive.
Yeah, it's just absolutely – that's absolutely outrageous. I mean, I'm taller than Shane Larkin. Like, I can't believe he's out there with, like, Rudy Gobert and, you know, Jay Crowder and Jonas Derebko and these guys who are tough rebounders. And he's just – there, you know, doing what needs to be done. Also, shout out to Shane Larkin for the plus 25 that he had in the game. So, you know, a neat little stat line for Shane Larkin, 10-9, you know, the near double-double and, you know, 4 assists. So,
you got to think this is the first game where he's led the team in minutes, too. 34 minutes tonight.
That's absolutely true. I would be shocked if that was not you know, the first time that had happened this year. So this kind of folds into, you know, kind of a larger point I kind of wanted to talk about before we get to, you know, getting some of the callers on here, Matt. Like, what, you know, the Celtics are sort of, you know, kind of feeling their way towards, you know, the finish line here. You know, they're it looked like they were pretty locked into the 2 seed, but suddenly, you know, winning all these games, you know, shorthanded with Kyrie Irving out and 2 games to go against the Raptors, it's still unlikely, but that door isn't totally shut anymore. So now the Celtics are looking at, you know, some of these other players that they've got, and they're trying to figure out their rotation down at the end of the year. And just like looking at who Brad Stevens has been trusting in these games, are you with me? Because I kind of feel like Shane Larkin has really earned Brad Stevens' trust, and I would not be surprised to see him get, you know, a role off the bench if, you know, particularly if Marcus Smart and Kyrie Irving are not back, even with a shortened playoff rotation.
Absolutely. I think that's why Shane Larkin's on the team. He brings a veteran presence. He's someone that can jumpstart an offense, but at the same time, calm it down when it needs to be calmed down. And the one hole that I saw before the Celtics signed him in the offseason was that they just needed a tone setter who could get an NBA offense going. He's a really skilled pick and roll player. So I think you're going to need someone like that in the playoffs who can just, in a crazy electric atmosphere, just calm the team down and get you into your motions and get you into your play calls. You know, you touched on it a little bit at the beginning that the Celtics have kind of settled into just kind of feeling their way through the rest of the regular season. They don't want to rush Kyrie Irving or Marcus Smart back and, you know, being cautious with Marcus Morris and Al Horford tonight. But like you said, the one seed is not entirely out of reach. How important it is, I think, pales in comparison to them being healthy by the second round. I think the way that they played on this West Coast road trip with the roster that they have, it shows that this any sort of excuse that you're an underdog in the first round against whoever it is, Miami or Milwaukee, I think is really unfounded. Like, they've proven that they can beat the Utahs, the Portlands on the road, Oklahoma City at home, you know, three huge games against top tier playoff caliber, you know, teams. I think as long as you're healthy for the second round, you know, you'll be in good shape. And I think that these few weeks are such a good growing point for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, because the Celtics, if there is one thing, if you look at the course of their season, their offense has struggled at times, the ability to find additional playmakers. So if Tatum and Brown can really sharpen those skills before they head into the playoffs, they'll be all the better for it.
Yeah. And you know, this was, you know, to you know, go back to your earlier point about, you know, just the scoring and, you know, how, you know, just how important that was going to be, you know, for a team that was already missing, you know, Al Horford and Kyrie Irving, who have, you know, kind of, Al Horford less so, but he's helped the offense with, you know, some of the facilitating from the elbows. So having him removed, you know, just makes things that much more difficult. And Kyrie Irving is, you know, he's the engine that, you know, makes the Celtics go. He really has, you know, played that Isaiah Thomas type of vital role for the Celtics this year. And just to see, you know, without them or Marcus Morris out there, who's also, you know, been the high volume usage guy in that, you know, in that role, to see, you know, Jaylen Brown come out tonight, you know, perfect on his threes, get 21 points, five rebounds, a couple of steals. Like, that's big, you know, he's kind of playing himself back from that nasty fall. And, you know, I feel like it's got to not be easy to be out there and to, you know, hit that big three at the end of the game, to hit the game winner on top of all that. I don't know. I just, it seems like there's a lot to be excited about. And I know as, you know, Celtics fans, maybe we should slow our roll a little bit sometimes, but there really is a lot to be excited about with just how much experience and run, you know, these young wings on the Celtics are getting at this point. Also, shout out to Yabu.
who
was out there for 15 minutes and got that one three-pointer to go down for the Dav, which I appreciate it. That was important to me.
the obligatory fill-in starter who, like, is last on the team in minutes by the end of the night.
Yes,
I always love that role. But, you know, back to what you were saying with Jaylen Brown, and we've been talking about how, you know, if he can really sharpen his offensive skills, they can really utilize him in the playoffs. I thought his three-point shooting was particularly impressive tonight, not just because of going perfect 3-for-3, but the types of shots that he was getting. I think particularly for the first half of the season, he's been the beneficiary of a lot of drive and kick plays where it's Horford or Kyrie or Jason Tatum taking the ball off the dribble. And he's already squared to his shoulders already squared to the basket. when he receives the catch. But tonight he's running around screens. He has to square his shoulders up. You know, he had to back up for the game-winning shot, take two steps back. That kind of variety, when you could be not just a catch-and-shoot scorer, you know, when the ball, when you're already facing the hoop, but to be able to run off screens is a new element that I think we've seen the last couple weeks from him. And I noticed that a lot tonight.
Yeah. I mean, just that there's just so many, you know, wrinkles that, like, I think I'm one of the advocates that this is actually not something that's bad for a team to, you know, be dreadfully undermanned. I think, you know, it can really give you sort of an opportunity to see, you know, what you have in your young guys and see, you know, how they react, particularly these end of the bench guys who, you know, probably would not sniff the floor otherwise. Like, I doubt in many other years, Abdel Nader, you know, gets as much time as he does, or, you know, even, you know, Yabu has, you know, come in and while he's warmed my heart, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, what the team needs right now for their aspirations. But I think that, you know, these type of stretches can be useful, but just to have it so close to the end of the year with the playoffs looming around the corner and, like, you know, the Celtics are staring down the barrel of having to go into a first round matchup against, you know, a team that might not have, a first round team that is not going to, it's not going to be easy. You know, you might see Giannis Antetokounmpo in the first round. Like, you know, you might see, you know, Victor Oladipo in the Indiana Pacers. You might see a freshly reinstated John Wall in the Washington Wizards. Like, there's a lot of different ways that this, you know, could go for the Celtics. And, you know, if they don't have Kyrie Irving back, you know, it's going to be tough sledding for them in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, I think the way that they've been playing the last week or so shows that they should be at least competitive in the first round. Like, I'm hearing kind of the narrative online that it's like, oh, well, you know, if it's this team as currently constituted and they lose 4-1, then it's not that big of a deal. Well, I don't know. I'd be pretty disappointed in that given how they're playing against the Utahs and the Portlands. There are certainly going to be minutes there for some of the young guys that we're seeing. Like, we haven't seen a lot of Yabu Sele. We've seen Ojale in and out this season. Haven't seen a lot of Nader until the injury bug came out. But there will be minutes for one or two of those guys in the postseason. And, yeah, it might not be double-digit minutes, but, you know, those are meaningful spots. You never know who's going to be in foul trouble or what kinds of weapons Brad's going to need. So this is kind of trial period for them to see who should earn a piece of the pie for playoff minutes, especially in the first round when you're definitely not going to have Marcus Smart. I mean, I think we can say that, and maybe not going to have Kyrie Irving for that. So that alone suggests that, you know, there will be minutes for some of these rookies that have not played consistent minutes this year. And I think that this 2-week trial period is as important for them as it is for anyone.
Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be interesting, you know, certainly a big win against a playoff, you know, type caliber squad, you know, tonight with the Utah Jazz, you know, and this is a Jazz team. That's a man's team. You know what else is for men, Matt? That's actually for him. Hims.com. And you know what? They are going to be sponsoring our call line tonight. We're going to get to some callers here in just a second. But first, I just want to tell you guys a little bit about Hims. So what Hims is, it's a company. It's a company that is bringing you the post game tonight. And, you know, hair looking good, feeling good. You know, that's an old saying that I subscribe to. And sometimes, you know, you might take a peek in that mirror, realize that what's happened to you is what's happening to a lot of men. 66%, that's 2/3. The hairline, it's not maybe what you want. It's coming back a little bit. You know, maybe you got business deals you got to, you know, make, and, you know, confidence, those sorts of things. That's really important in those type of situations. So what's the solution here? Well, what do you do when you're staring down the barrel of that? Well, folks, 4hymns.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and you know what? It's for men. So, you know, thanks to science, baldness is optional. They can, you know, they connect you with real doctors. They got medical grade solutions. There's no waiting rooms. You ask some questions. You know, they have people to answer your questions for you. And you can just save hours on, you know, other consultations or what have you that you might end up doing. You can just do this by going to 4hymns.com. Now, you know, we know how it works. We know that everyone's going to want a little taste here. So don't worry, folks. We got you covered. You can actually try out Hymns now. Our listeners, they're going to get a trial month of Hymns for $5 today. $5. You have any idea how many things you can buy for $5? Like, just go on Amazon Prime. You set that price match to lowest. $5, like, that's – and this is what you're getting for that. It's incredible. It's incredible. Like, I should be getting this deal. Hold on. I'm going to write this down while I'm talking. You can get it right now while supplies are lasting. You're going to see the website for details. That website you're going to go to, it's 4hymns.com/report. That's forhims.com/report. 4hymns.com/report. One more time, thanks so much to 4hymns for sponsoring the call lines today. I am Sam Sheehan. He is Matt Chin, my co-host tonight, and we are going to be talking, and we're going to be going to the call lines to talk about this splendid Utah Jazz, you know, loss to the Boston Celtics. That was a little mean. I guess it should be the Celtics win, but after that, you know, Hayward profile, I'm feeling a little salty. So yeah. I thought, you know, maybe rubbing it in a little bit. We don't have any.
Crowder took it seriously tonight.
Yes, he did. So. Barking at my young, large son, Jason Tatum. I'm not going to hold it against him, I don't think. We have no one behind the glass tonight, so we're just going to be – I'm going to be going by area code. So, you know, we're going to just put you on the air, and I'm going to let you know by your area code. So I think we're going to start with 413. We got a 413 number. You're on the air with us. Hello? 413? Okay. We're gonna be moving it right along then. No, 413 not there. We're gonna try
Mass.
Out. Yeah, that's Western Mass. But we're gonna move on to 862. Give them a chance to catch their breath. So 862, how you doing today?
What's going on, fellas? It's Isaiah from Jersey.
Hey,
what's up,
Isaiah? How you doing, man?
Regular
right,
caller.
Yeah, I'm all right, fellas. How's everything with you guys? And who am I talking to? I didn't even catch the names because I caught on late.
Yeah, oh, you're here with Sam and Matt, and we're just, you know, we're talking about that game, and you know, the Celtics,
up,
despite losing everyone in a 19 car pileup on the interstate, went out there with a skeleton crew and got that thing done. Did you get a chance to watch the game, Isaiah?
Yeah, I saw the whole thing, man. I just got as soon as you guys unmuted me, I just saw the Jaylen Brown three. So yeah, it was an awesome game by these guys. Awesome game by these guys, And I think, first of all, I'd like to give it up to the real MVP of the Celtics, Brad Stevens.
Oh, my God. What a performance these last three games by Brad Stevens.
Yeah, man. He's the best coach in the league. I don't care how many rings you put on the table. I don't care how disrespectful it is to Pop. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I like to call you know, the Celtics.
I could coach the Warriors.
I like to call the Celtic University. Because it seems like everybody that comes through the doors gets better. They get on the Celtic plan. They look and they should all kick back some money off of their contracts too, Brad, for whatever charity you want.
I heard Evan Turner took him out to dinner last week.
Turner scholarship program.
Yeah, he owes him a few gold watches, if you know what I mean. Because everyone that comes through the door that Brad gets his hands on gets better. You know, so I'd love to say the real MVP is Brad. He's the best player, best coach, best everything that we have. So give it up for Brad. And other than that, man, this is why you're a fan. You know, this is why you root for teams, because when they're down, they're depleted, they somehow, some way find the gut, the guile, the grit to get through games like this. I mean, they could have easily folded and said, you know what, we're the second, we're the third string, you know, when they got down in the third quarter. But no, they gutted through it. They did what they had to do, and they came up with another Celtics victory, man. This team is primed and ready for the playoffs. And to me, it doesn't matter how far we go. I've just had a super exciting season. Thinking back to, you know, when Gordon Hayward went down and how we all felt going into the season, we got 81 more games and we don't have Gordon, the season's over, some Celtics fans were saying, and thinking of the ride that this team is taking us on. From the first guy in Kyrie to the last guy in Abdul Nader. I mean, all of these guys have gotten better and put their best foot forward this season, and they just try hard. And that's all you can ask for as a fan, just a try-hard team that doesn't give up.
Yeah. And I feel like – I almost feel like, you know, I feel like we've seen enough of Brad Stevens at this point. You know, it's been 5 years, 6 years, maybe even seven so far to sort of, you know – see the calling card of, you know, what his teams are and what they do. And it really does say something that, you know, it's looking like unless things absolutely fall apart down the stretch again, the Celtics are once again going to improve on their record after being, you know, the number one seed last year and winning 53 games. And to do that when in a season when an all-star goes down for the year 5 minutes into the season, and, you know, Kyrie Irving is going to miss a lot of games. You know, an impact player like Marcus Smart is just going to be out for games and games at a time. I just let me riff a little bit here because I want Isaiah's take on this. Because I've been hearing – I don't know if you have been hearing some of this, Isaiah, but the people were saying that Dwayne Casey is the front runner for Coach of the Year, and I found that to be ridiculous. And absurd. Like, all due respect, well, not all due respect, but some respect to Toronto for the season they're having. You know, it's hard to be the number one seed in the East, but I just couldn't believe that, you know, Brad Stevens was being overlooked as badly as he was just because this is a Toronto team that, you know, decided they're suddenly going to shoot threes and maybe might win three or four more games than the Celtics. I don't know. That seemed wild to me.
No, I definitely agree with you. Brad's the coach of the year every year. From his second year on, it seems like he's the coach of the year every year. But I understand why you give it to Dwayne Casey. I mean, he's completely overhauled the way he played last year. And you got to give him credit for that because he just – I mean, most coaches go down with their system. Look at D'Antoni. He's running the same system in Houston that he ran in New York, and they ran him out of New York, and he had the same system in Phoenix. He's not changing his system. But Casey's made a change and got his players to buy into the change, and because of it, that bench is playing lights out. I mean, I understand why he could be Coach of the Year simply for that reason, just getting his superstars to buy into a whole different way of playing and stepping out on the branch and not just playing well but flourishing. But it's the little things that Brad does that makes him Coach of the Year for me. Like, take for example, everyone's gaga about Terry Rozier, and I am too. I love what Terry's doing. To me, he's kind of like Avery Bradley. He's built like a guard, but he's not really a guard. He's really a two-guard because he can't play make and set up the offense the way you want him to. And Brad knows this. So although Terry is starting, look at since Kyrie's been out, how many minutes Shane Larkin is playing. The reason is because Terry is more comfortable at the two-guard, and he knows that he has a steady ball handler who can run the offense and Shane Larkin. And Shane Larkin is not only rewarding him, but he's just stepping up and taking the mantle of the backup point guard, kind of like what you said. He's going to get significant minutes in the playoffs, and he's earned them, you know, in Brad's system. It's just subtle moves like that. Like I said, like everyone thinks that Terry is – like I heard the conversation after last game saying that, you know, Terry, the guy that you might want to keep over Marcus. And I don't want to rehash that because I think they both have their value independently. But – Terry is no way, shape, form, or fashion to me a better basketball player than Marcus. He's a better scorer than Marcus. And because of that, he has a definite place on this team. But to supplement his shortcomings, he utilizes Shane Larkin to the utmost. I mean, you're getting everything that Shane Larkin has in him right now. So he's squeezing all the juice out of Shane Larkin in order to make this team win, what, five out of their last six games?
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Like, just to see what's going on with them going down and with like pretty much no scoring to speak of. I mean, like, you're looking at a team that is entirely composed of you know, rookies, people who have been waived at some point in their career, someone who got concussed at one point. someone who Tommy Heinsohn was on national television talking about how he looked in the shower earlier this year. And then last but not least, Terry Rozier. So that was it. That's your whole team for this game tonight. A national TV game. That's the other thing. Like, you got young guys in this national TV game, and here they are, like, taking care of business and winning what they got to win. So, I don't know. I'm with you, Isaiah. I think Brad is pretty clearly the number one guy. Do you have any other thoughts before we let you go for the night?
Yeah, I do have a question for you guys, and this is me. I'm always looking forward to what our team's going to look like over the summertime and going into next season. And I have a quick question that I wanted to toss to both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown both look awesome. One is a second-year player, one's a rookie. And next year, there'll be a second-year player and a third-year player. You're going to have a healthy Gordon Hayward coming back. You got Terry Rozier coming back. All the rumors point out that Marcus is going to be matched no matter what they do. Danny's willing to match the high teens, allegedly. So when you have all of these guys coming back, I don't think they're all going to be on the team next year. And I think that with Terry Rozier raising his market value, I don't think he's going to be on the team next year either. But there is going to be a spot that's going to be occupied by Gordon Hayward. So who are you guys bringing off the bench next year? Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown?
Ooh.
Neither. I would move forward for DeCenter. I'm serious. I would move forward for DeCenter. Like, I realize that he wants to play power forward, and he calls himself a power forward, but I mean, at least for the crunch time minutes, Horford's got to be the center with those three basically interchangeable wings and Kyrie Irving running the show. I mean, that lineup has been – I've been having dreams about it for close to a year now.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Isaiah.
You really think – I mean, I don't know. I think we'll get killed on the glass if you do that, man. I mean, because Al isn't the best rebounder in the world. And then you're putting a slight Jason Tatum at the four. You know,
but you're big one through three.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
Yeah, you are. And
certainly big two
be.
And three. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to need to be because you're going to go up against I don't think we're that good of a rebounding team to begin with. I mean, a guy like Greg Monroe has really helped us, you know. And as you see, Brad's going with Greg Monroe and Baines, you know, at the same time.
That was fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, because of the rebounding issue. I mean, we are solidly in games in rebounding, and I think if you do that, not only do we lose the rebounding battle, but you run the risk of wearing down a Jason Tatum when he's on the court because who's guarding the other team's four? You're going to wear that guy down in order to do it? So,
I think it's going to be if when Hayward comes back, if they do elect to, you know, start games, if they go after someone, another center as they start Baines again, I think they might start games with maybe Jason Tatum on the bench and sort of, next year and maybe let him develop if they want to, you know, start games big. But I do agree with Matt that I think that when it comes down to crunch time and it comes time to close these games, I do think that they're going to play. They're just going to put their five best players out there. And that's going to be those guys. Although I will say that I think Marcus Smart brings, you know, a certain skill set that none of these other guys really have in terms of lockdown defense and, you know, just being able to switch Like, he really is, you know, a point guard first, but then a power forward. People think he's like a shooting guard or a small forward. No, he's a power forward.
He's a strong safety. he's a strong safety.
Yeah.
And Brad's gonna put who's playing well. He's gonna end games with them. I mean, we've seen throughout the season that he's not afraid to go deep into his bench at the end of games with certain players if they're playing well, if he likes the matchup. So as much as I say that's their best lineup next year, it's gonna change from night to night because Brad uses all 82 games to, you know, experiment and toy around with his lineup. He's not afraid to have, you know, something, you know, that throws something different out there, like having the Baines Monroe combination these last two games in Phoenix and tonight. I thought that decision was a pretty interesting decision to go with experimentally, having Jay Crowder at the stretch four position, having to hit guard him with one of those guys was interesting, to say the least. But Brad's not afraid, and that's what you have to love about him.
Yeah, it's the most important thing.
If I had one more thing, that actually brought me to something else. So you guys would re-sign Baynes over Greg Monroe?
Yeah.
I think they'll have enough offense.
Because right now Baynes makes less money than Greg Monroe makes right now, and I think he's gonna cost less money in the offseason.
That's true.
If all things being equal, I don't know. I think the Celtics might try to upgrade at that spot because they're gonna have their full mid-level exception because of arcane cap things. They're actually gonna have more money to spend on guys this offseason because they spent it all on Gordon Hayward. So one of the guys I'm floating out there that I honestly think they might be able to get just because his value has fallen so low is I wonder what Nerlens Noel. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You knew where I was going with that.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think Baynes is going to be back anyway. And if you can, and the way that we're moving away from the beefy big center, I think we could get Greg Monroe back for a really good price. So I think you could upgrade. Let Baynes go and get both guys in order to compensate and leave Al at the four and then bring Jaylen Brown off the bench. Let Tatum play at the two. Because I think Tatum showed that he is a super mismatch for any two guard in this league.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
See, my reason for liking Baynes next year over Monroe is not necessarily because I think he's a better player. I just think he's a better fit for what they need. His defense this year, his rim protection, his verticality. I mean, he's still in the top 10 in defensive rating this year. But I just think if you're bringing Tatum off the bench with Marcus Morris next year and potentially Marcus Smart, I think that's enough offense to get by without Monroe, and I think you're really going to miss Baynes' rim protection. He's not a prolific shot blocker, but he's a beast on the inside in terms of just trying to move a cinder block around.
I'm not depreciating Baynes for what he does. I'm just saying that I think I could get – I mean, Is he really that great of a defender? And is he really that good of a rebounder?
Yeah.
I think he's a great defender.
Yeah.
Because when I see Greg Monroe out there, I see him miss shots. But the way he gets to the miss shot leads me to believe that if he was in better shape, which next year around his Celtic team I think he would be, if he was in better shape, he'd be dominant. I mean, especially against second units. I mean, he gets to the back. Like, the one play he had in the fourth quarter coming down the stretch where he was at the top of the key, actually two plays. He made the great pass to Larkin, that great bounce pass to Larkin, which shows that you can run the offense through him at the high post the same way as you do with Al. So he fits the system better than Baynes as a passer offensively. And then the other play is when he put the ball on the ground and made the spin move and laid it in over Gobert. There's no way Baynes is giving me anything like that. And then the fight that I see him on the offensive and defensive glass, that's all I need. I know he's slow-footed, and I know he fell down on the pick and roll with the Utah rookie, his name escapes me.
Mitchell.
Yeah, with Mitchell, when he fell. I get all of that. He's not the quickest of foot, but he tries hard, and as long as he gets his body where it needs to be and grabs that rebound, he can give me a Linux style defense any day, For what I'm getting on the offense and defensive glass and the offensive potential that he gives me, I think that I would go with the upside more than the slow and steady cinder block.
Yeah.
Because if Baynes isn't hitting that jump shot, he's worthless on the offensive end.
I hear you. It's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting to see next offseason. Isaiah, I appreciate you calling in, man.
Hey, no problem, fellas. It's always a great time when I'm talking to you guys. And as always, go green.
Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah. Appreciate it, Isaiah. Take care, okay? All right. So we got Isaiah from Jersey. We're gonna keep it moving along. Get to more calls here in just a second. But one more time, I just want to remind you guys that what you're listening to, we're sponsored tonight by 4Hymns. That's F O rhims.com, and that's fourhims.com. And, you know, I just want to go over real quick fourhims, maybe if you missed my expert plug earlier. You know, plug is, you know, not the word of the day, because what we're talking about right here, folks, we're talking about hair restoration. We're talking about how, you know, two-thirds of men, 66%, if for some of you that might not be quite as quick on the math, 66% of men, they're losing their hair by the age of 35. I'm 28 right now. I'm closing in on that. So this is of importance to me, and I think a lot of you out there. So, you know, you want to be confident. You want to, you know, always present your best. And, you know, sometimes, you know, having something like that going on can, you know, affect you. It can, you know, affect how you carry yourself, you know, in social situations, business situations. So, you know, where do you go with this sort of stuff? You know, some of these other treatments, they can be crazy expensive, out of pocket. Maybe, you know, you don't have the information right there. Well, check this out. 4hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness, and it's for men. Thanks to science, baldness, that's optional now, folks, because they're going to connect you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions. So this isn't, you know, we're not talking the GNC stuff. We're talking about real medical-grade solutions. The, you know, the doctors will give you. There's not, this isn't snake oil. You know, you're not getting the any of the you know, weird supplements here. This is the real stuff. So if you want to, you know, order now, well, guess what, people? We got a trial for you. You're going to save $5 today, right now, while supplies last. You're going to go to the website for details. And this is something that would literally cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy. We're going to 4hims.com/report. That's 4hims, FORHIMS.com/report. 4hims.com/report. And it's just going to be $5 to them. We want to thank Hims for sponsoring the call line today. Once again, I am Sam Sheehan. He is Matt Shin. We're in the back third of our show now, folks. We're recapping the Celtics 97-94 win over the Utah Jazz. We're going to throw it to someone who's been very patiently waiting, and we appreciate it. We're going to go 516 area code, because we're not we don't have anybody screening those today. 516, are you with us today? Hello? Do we have anyone from the 516 area code? Oh, it's looking like not.
Long Island?
We're gonna, oh, that seems odd. Is
Island.
That Long Island day? Oh, boy.
Knicks fan. Knicks fan. Frank Collias.
We'll circle back to them. First, we're going to go to a 941 number. 941, you're on with us. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, this is Nick in Florida.
Hey, Nick.
What's
how
up,
you doing,
Nick?
Man?
What's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing, Nick? What did you think of that going on there today?
Fantastic game. I love the game. One thing I wanted to point out before I ask you guys a couple of questions, because I was just listening to the conversation you guys had with Isaiah. What I've been saying for a long time about Greg Monroe's defense, because Greg Monroe sucked ass on offense tonight. I mean, he wasn't effective at all on offense. The Rudy Gobert's length really bothered him. He was missing a lot of shots at the rim that he normally makes. If you go on YouTube and you look at Greg Monroe post highlights, the guy has the best footwork in the league outside of, you know, Joel Embiid and DeMarcus Cousins probably. He has elite footwork for a big man, mostly because that position is very thin in the NBA right now. You know, those big lumbering, you know, big men are kind of going extinct. They're dinosaurs. But if you watch him, he has footwork, the ability to finish with both hands and go up under the rim. Tonight he didn't do all that stuff, but he made fantastic passes, including a sick pass to Semi Ojeleye streaking right down the middle of the paint up the gut to get him a basket and one. What we did see from Greg Monroe, though, was excellent defense, and it's not so much the rotation, because Brad kind of went to a zone at the end of the game. But if one of the things about Greg Monroe's defense that always stood out to me, especially back to his Pistons days when I originally started calling for Danny Ainge to probably try to get a hold of, you know, Monroe if the situation was right, is his number of steals. He's averaged over a steal a game several times in his career because he is excellent at – when he's in position, he has quick hands. It can poke the ball away, the entry pass into the center. If a center's trying to back him down or trying to gain position, he's excellent at poking the ball
we
away.
We saw it tonight. We saw it tonight.
Absolutely.
Man.
Four steals. He led the team in steals.
He ran down. We saw it on that fast break. He had that run down where he got the ball away from, I think it might have been Mitchell. I might be wrong on that. But he saved the ball from going out of bounds and then got it into Terry Rozier. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that from a big man, you know, running the break the other way on defense. You know, this was a fast break from behind poke away, which I can't ever remember seeing. So
his agility is so weird because when he's going forwards, like, he has a lot of quickness. It can change directions. But when he's going sideways or backwards, he's like an absolute mess. and you would think that, like, they're the same legs. Obviously, they're different movements. Mm-hmm. But, like, the contrast between those is, like, night and day.
It's staggering.
Well,
it's
the difference to make a comparison, like a football comparison, it's the difference between downhill speed and lateral speed, you know, and there's defenses that can defend against the lateral speed, and there's defenses that, you know, are better at defending those runners that, you know, come straight up the gut. And Greg Monroe, Greg Monroe overall, like, there was that shot that he made where he did his patented, you know, from the free throw line and then took his two steps with a spin move around the defender and then finished at the hoop. I mean, that's one of those things. Whereas you think, you know, for any other big man in the league, or most other big men in the league that don't make, you know, max salaries, you know, excluding like Anthony Davis and some and Joel Embiid, you think this ball is, you know, flying. He's gonna lose control and it's just gonna go flying out of bounds. But he finishes those things and he can do it, and he's done it repeatedly. He can finish with both hands. He has one of the most solid repertoires of moves under the basket. He was affected by Rudy Gobert tonight. He has that straight line speed, absolutely, and he has excellent footwork. I mean, he has all the fakes, he has all those moves. But tonight I think he the impact that he made was the most significant impact he made, the most impressive impact to me was his defense, because if Greg Monroe can start playing defense, and interestingly enough, I was pulling up something because it's a good transition for the next questions I wanted to ask you guys. The one player that's still in the Boston Celtics, who do you think the one player that leads the Boston Celtics in defensive rating is this season?
Aaron Baines.
Aaron Baines, I would guess, yes.
I'm looking at basketballreference.com. Per 100 possessions, which is how they calculate their defensive ratings, Greg Monroe is number one on the team. They have Jarrell Eddie, who only played two games in garbage minutes, is number one, so we won't include him. At 99 points per 100 possessions, he is tops in the league. He's not tops in defense, not in the league, but on the team.
That's just the games that he's played on the Celtics, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's the games that he plays on the Celtics or if that's the whole stats. I'm just looking at the team stats on basketballreference.com. Mm-hmm. This is according to basketballreference. Mm-hmm. Doesn't include tonight's game. But leading into this, I want to go get into this defensive rating and defensive win shares. Greg Monroe doesn't do so well with the defensive win shares. He does better with the defensive rating. But I have a question. Why, and I was listening to the previous caller, I love Isaiah, but why are we talking about Marcus Smart tonight? What does Marcus Smart have to do with this?
He brought it up.
No, I just
don't know what
Marcus Smart
to talk about.
Nick, you know how it goes on my episodes. Yeah. I'm always going to find a way to bring up Marcus Smart.
I'll talk about whatever. Yeah, you want to talk about Walter McCarty getting – we could talk about Walter McCarty getting hired at Evansville.
There's so much to talk about. The point that I'm making is there's so much to talk about the win. And then when I tune in and I hear it's, you know, Marcus Smart, who hasn't played, you know, half the season almost, or a third of the season he missed, you know, from this injury that he has now, and then punching, you know, fighting, you know, picture frames and stuff like that. This guy has other issues, you know what I'm saying, that take himself out of the game. But I want to ask you this. There's a couple of questions I just want to ask the Marcus Smart fans and the guys that say Marcus Smart is so much better than Terry Rozier defensively. Who has Marcus Smart? Give me an example of a player, of a solid caliber offensive player that Marcus Smart has shut down, quote unquote, shut down. Who has Marcus Smart shut down?
James Harden. And
James Harden.
The first game of this season, the second half, he absolutely shut him down.
Yeah. Yes, with his charging card. And James Harden still had, what, like 26
Paul
points that
Paul
game
Millsap
or something like
in
that?
In the playoffs.
Yeah.
You still had like 21.
Kristaps Porzingis earlier this year. Like, his range is ridiculous. That's what I wouldn't say. Like, you know, I talked about him, the reason why he's a better defender is because of his range. I mean, the guy, it's less about how tall he is and more about like the fact that he guards like a 6'9 player, and he can guard like a 6'2 player when he wants to. And that's what makes him a better defensive player. But yeah, I would say his offensive woes like are much more concerning than Terry's weaknesses. Like Terry's weaknesses, yeah, like being able to finish at the rim, is less of a concern to me than like Marcus's jump shot.
Mark can't finish at the rim either, though. That's the thing. Now I want to ask another question. Who has a better defensive rating between Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart?
That's probably going to be Terry Rozier, if I had to guess, actually.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I wouldn't ask you the question if I didn't know the answer. That's what lawyers say. Don't ask questions if you don't know the answer to. Who has the more defensive win shares between Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart?
I guess for the purposes of
the conversation, you're going to say Rozier. But who has the harder matchup?
Marcus Smart is
not as good as offensive stats, advanced stats. That's just like because it doesn't take into account matchups. It doesn't take into account the other four players on the floor. At least not all the defensive stats do. So I get what you're saying, but Marcus Smart has way more challenges given to him on the defensive end than Terry Rozier does. Like his assignments
it does come to matchups. But let me ask another question since you brought up his shooting woes. We look at this road stretch they've had against the Western Conference where they beat, these teams in a row, Portland and a couple of, gimmies against the Kings and the Suns and then, the bookend at Utah. Out of those games where Marcus Morris hit that miracle shot in I think that was the Portland game that he hit that or whatever game that he hit that miracle shot, and then you have this shot tonight by Jaylen Brown, you know that out of those games, at least one of those shots wouldn't have been made because Marcus Smart would have taken it. You know he would have had that ball, and he would have taken a shot, and he would have bricked it, and we would have lost the game because Marcus Smart has such terrible shot selection, and he has, for some reason, when it comes down to the end of the game, especially when Kyrie is injured, Marcus Smart wants to – it's almost like he wants to force one of these game-winning shots. I just don't see – I don't see paying Marcus Smart into the mid-teens, which is the rumor that I've heard, matching up to the mid-teens. That's just
that's
an insane –
The money's not out there.
Yeah, I would say to go through this real quick, point by point. For starters, I don't necessarily agree. I'm a huge Marcus Smart stan. I don't know if I even necessarily agree that he's more valuable than Terry Rozier right now. I'm just because Terry's been on an incredible hot streak right now. I still do believe, despite what defensive box plus minus and some of these other stats are saying, that he's still pretty clearly the superior defender. But and I would say he might be more valuable to this what would be a healthy Celtics team, because this healthy Celtics team will not need Terry Rozier scoring. It'll need Marcus Smart's defense a little bit more. That said, I think Terry Rozier is absolutely going to have the higher trade value. More teams are going to want a Terry Rozier than they're going to want a Marcus Smart because they're going to be able to get more out of it. I think that the mid-teens projection we're hearing for Marcus Smart is just a byproduct of the fact that the salary cap, they're going to have matching rights on him, and the Celtics currently have no real big way to add money this year, particularly if they're not getting that Lakers pick. So if you do want to trade for someone like Anthony Davis, they don't really have any mid-tier salary. So Marcus Smart a big one-year mid-teen deal, it's probably about keeping Marcus Smart, but it also might be wily old Danny Ainge keeping his chips lined up for that big move we always know he's looking for. Does New Orleans ever deal Anthony Davis? Probably not, but we've seen it. Danny Ainge makes sure to have those moves there and lined up. And right now, you go from Kyrie Irving making $18 million a year, and then it dips way down to Jason Tatum making like eight or nine or something like that. So they need that mid-tier salary. So they have some salary to send back if the Brow or Anthony Davis were to go in. So I think that all of those things kind of play a little bit of a factor. But I don't know. I think Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart, it's going to be interesting to see. What I would do is I would give Marcus a big one-year contract because they're still going to have money. Kyrie Irving doesn't get his raise until next year when he hits free agency. Do that, then you've got the money to send for Anthony Davis. You give him the Amir Johnson or the Jonas Jerebko contract, that's, you know, you can has high money but low but a lot of flexibility too, and then you make your decision next offseason depending on what's going on with you know, Marcus and Terry, but then you can also kind of make the trades. But you know, that's just my take on it. I've deeply missed the Nick Sesento, Marcus Smart takes. Nick, we got to get back on these shows together.
Definitely.
Need you to balance out my smart,
fanboy, Marcus Smart fanboy. Yeah. And there's a lot of, I've never seen as interesting as I watch the discussions. You know, I read, you know, the comments on some of the articles on, you know, NESN and NBC Sports Boston, and then of course the Facebook groups and the tweets and the Instagram pages. I mean, there's infinite number of Celtics, you know, fan pages out there. And I mean, Marcus Smart is just one of these guys that he's like a lightning rod. People just love the guys that make the hustle plays, that take those charges, that do those type of things. But I really honestly think that Marcus Smart, more than anything, is a fantastic system defensive player. He's a product of Brad Stevens, and I really think that if you take him off of Brad Stevens' team, he's not going to be as good of a player. And I think that this stretch right now, the way the Boston Celtics are playing defense, I think this whole like meme that everyone goes around, you know, they keep repeating, Marcus Smart is the heart and soul of this team. I just don't think so, because I think the Boston Celtics are a fantastic defensive team without Marcus Smart. They're showing like they did tonight. They won this game primarily on defense. And, of course, you know, the fantastic play by Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who I personally wouldn't want to give. I think Jason Tatum's going to be a superstar in this league. He reminds me of, like, a slightly smaller Kevin Durant without, you know, some of the defense yet. But I think he'll get there or get close. I think he looks like one of those type of guys. I wouldn't make that trade. I just think that Marcus Smart is just overhyped to me by a whole lot of Boston Celtics fans, and I think that this game is just moving more and more towards, yes, you got to have defense, and they're always going to have defense with Brad Stevens being able to move these pieces. But when it comes to this the league right now, you have to be able to spread the floor, and Marcus Smart doesn't do that. He's a liability at the end of games because he can't shoot, and for some reason teams still defend him. But I think if he doesn't improve now after his fourth season hitting that shot, teams are going to start to sag off him. I mean, I don't know how many seasons
they've
it
already started. They have already started. They've been sagging off for 4 years.
I just think you need a sixth man like Terry Rozier, and I think he's getting better at setting up the offense. I heard Isaiah, and he makes this point frequently, that Marcus Smart, and he absolutely is better at running an offense as a point guard, because he is a point guard in kind of like a running back's body, you know what I mean, or a tight end's body, you know. But I think that's because he's been groomed that way, and Terry Rozier hasn't. I think if you gave Terry Rozier 4 years being groomed as a backup, you know, point guard, he would be the guy that's getting – I mean, the difference in assists is literally like 2 or 2.5 assists per game. And it's not even – and half of the offensive plays are run through the centers, and a lot of the assists the Celtics get come from their big men who are all fantastic passers. Al Horford gets, you know, 6-7 assists a night, 5-6-7, whatever. Greg Monroe, fantastic passer. I just don't think that the things that Marcus Smart is better at – are more important than having a guy like Terry Rozier that can come off the bench, that can fill in for Kyrie Irving, that can hit the jump shots, that's a pretty decent defender in his own right. You know what I mean? And gives you that kind of spark off the bench. You need a sixth man that can give you that fantastic spark. And given the fact that, like you guys mentioned, when it comes to crunch time, when it comes to the game, they're going to go with their best players. I love that lineup that you guys mentioned: Horford, Tatum, Hayward, Brown, and then Kyrie Irving. That's their best lineup, and you need Terry Rozier to be able to come out and light it up. He can get to the basket, not the best finisher, but he gets in there, he has moves, and he's really fast. I just don't see it. I love Marcus Smart, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I hear you.
I think
Nick, we're up against it. I love your take
you.
Too. But
I was gonna say, I think we're gonna be arguing the Marcus Smart thing till the end of time, but
at least
appreciate
one of them's off
in,
the
Nick.
Team.
Might be this off season. All right, appreciate you calling in, Nick.
Thanks.
All right, take care. All right, folks, that's pretty much gonna do it for us over here at CLNS post game show. You can like and subscribe to the show. You can get the show on the very next day, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to be coming to you You know, Saturday, the big game. We're talking about the Toronto Raptors. Tune in with us after the game. We're going to be taking calls, going through all of that stuff. One more time, shout out to hymns.com. That's FORHIMS.com, forhims.com/report. That's where you're going to go. They're the sponsor of the show today. You're going to get $5 right now while supplies last. So please go to forhims.com/report. One more time for me and my co-host, Matt Chin. We're going to be leaving you tonight. But to take you out, let's think one more time on Jaylen Brown hitting that big three and drift off to sleep because, folks, it's late out there tonight.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.